Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Hopefully you made it through the week, because this is the Friday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack, and hey, you know how Friday's going here.
Start spreading the news.
Mark Schomburg Stu is joining us. Hi, Stu.
Yeah, how are you? What's going on, John?
All right, if you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturdays, so look for something popping up there hopefully early tomorrow morning. If not, you know, just swing by there and see what shows up whenever it shows up. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, you want to hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, hey, we'd greatly appreciate that. But don't forget, we also have the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Of course, sadly, we still don't have Stu on Twitter, but I am out there at Burke Time, and feel free to send me anything you'd like to ship off to Stu, and I will gladly move it along. So there we go. Look at that. We're off and running.
All right, what's going on in the world of sports that we want to talk about today?
Well, you know, I believe yesterday I witnessed a miracle, and I'm not sure. Well, maybe it wasn't a miracle. Maybe we would just call it collusion. But somehow the Los Angeles Lakers have now created enough room to where they can add one more max player. So magically now they can go out and add a third superstar to the team they've already pieced together with LeBron James and Anthony Davis, which of course you know was more corruption because Davis oddly is represented by Rich Paul of Clutch Sports, which LeBron James just happens to own. So there you go. More reasons for me to hate the NBA. But somehow, and I found this quite interesting, Anthony Davis basically just gave up $4 million so the Lakers could come up with this space. Along with the fact that they dumped three players on the Washington Wizards, but yet somehow I am unable to find the transaction that occurred as I continue to search and look for it here. I get the NBA wants the Lakers to be good. Do they have to make it so obvious that they're just willing to cheat to do it?
They're desperate. They desperately want the Lakers to be in the playoffs. They want to showcase LeBron and now Davis, and they're going to succeed. They'll definitely make the playoffs next year. Whether they'll be the number one seed remains to be seen. I doubt it. But I could see them going in third or fourth maybe, which is all the network will be looking for.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, you know, why even play next season? Just hand them the title and let's continue on. I mean, how many you want to give them? You want to give them two? You want to give them three? You want to give them four? You know, maybe when the Warriors get healthy in 2021, we actually bother to go through the season. But, this is just ridiculous to believe, you know, in today's NBA that, oh, hey, I'm just going to give up this $4 million. I get that they make a lot of money, but nobody is buying it. And apparently here's the deal. They apparently amended the Anthony Davis deal, so they changed a trade that was already done. And instead of it just being Davis – from the Pelicans to the Lakers for all the draft picks and other BS. The Lakers have agreed to send Mo Wagner, Isaac Bonga, and Jamario Jones to the Wizards as part of the deal. In return, the Lakers will also get Washington's second pick in 2020.
Well, that'll really turn around the Wizards franchise for next season, right? With that great acquisition
yeah.
they're getting.
Yeah, there's another lottery team we can look at. The way it states here, it says the move means the Lakers will start free agency with $32 million in cap space and now have the ability to sign a max player. Helping matters was the fact that Anthony Davis agreed to waive his $4 million trade kicker. Now, again, remember, Anthony Davis is represented by Clutch Sports, which is owned by LeBron James. You damn well know he didn't give up that money. They just found a different way to get it to him is all that happened. So,
the old restructure game, right? Isn't that it?
Yeah. Well, you can't restructure in the NBA. Basically, Clutch Sports probably just cut him a check, or maybe he's in Space Jam. You know, they're remaking the movie. Maybe they're going to pay him $4 million for doing that. So.
Yeah, the question now is, who are the Lakers going to be looking for as their major acquisition after this deal has been consummated? Any rumors floating around there as to who they want to acquire?
Well, you know, the first one that popped up is apparently Kawhi Leonard actually had some interest. You know, he wants to play in Los Angeles. But oddly, he apparently asked Jeannie Buss for a meeting with her and Magic Johnson, and you know that obviously Johnson no longer is the president of basketball operations. You know, he had that goofy resignation, and Ramona Shelburne actually pointed out that Johnson isn't permitted to be a part of official team meetings with prospective free agents. So again, this is the Lakers, so I'm sure they would find a way to make it happen. Remember, you know, LeBron James went out to dinner, or apparently accidentally ran into dinner with Anthony Davis, is how they made that one work. So I'm sure I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, they take Kawhi out to whatever Los Angeles restaurant there is, and, oh, hey, look, Magic Johnson's here tonight. So.
Well, if they got him, that would be a huge, huge deal, and they would probably be one of the two or three favorites to win the West next season.
So, well, they're already the betting favorite, which is kind of humorous. So
yeah, I don't see that just yet. I can't see how they could be the betting favorite right now, assuming that Golden State gets healthy for next season.
Well, that's not going to happen. You know, Durant is, you know, already guaranteed to miss next year, and Klay Thompson doesn't come back until, you know, the worst February. So it's going to be basically a off year for Golden State next year. So
I read that some players have been saying that they don't really treat the injuries that a player gets with Golden State as seriously as they should. They treated some injuries that they're minimally type of injury, and they were a lot more serious, and they had them play hurt. Have you seen anything about that? I thought I remember seeing that.
The only problem with that is in today's game, there's no way Kevin Durant only got one opinion before returning to the court. So even if the Warriors doctor said he was okay to play, there's absolutely no way that was the only advice he got. You know, because I actually thought I read somewhere that he saw three doctors. He saw the Warriors team doctor and then two other doctors before he returned to the court. So, yeah, you know, with the money these guys make and the kind of money that's on the line in these situations, you know, a lot of that sounds like sour grapes to me. You know, and you have to wonder, I mean – who said it. You know, are there names attached to it? Because, you know, it's very much like the internet. It's not difficult to sit back there and go, oh, hey, yeah, look, this guy did this. So.
Right. And, yeah, even so, though, when you think about it, he was playing hurt. And that, did that lead to the injury that's going to cost him next season?
No, he couldn't help.
He couldn't help. It's supposed to be unrelated, but, you know, I always have thoughts about that not being completely accurate.
So, yeah, there's absolutely no way he went back out on the court unless he was 100% medically cleared. No, you know, there was no way he was going to chance. You're looking at a guy who was going to get a contract worth, you know, $170 million if he leaves the Warriors like it looks like he's going to do. You're not putting that on the line if a doctor tells you there's any possibility whatsoever that you're going to get injured. So I don't buy any of that. And obviously Klay Thompson's injury had nothing to do with him being injured. It was just one of those things that happened. But, it's more sour grapes than anything, I believe. So,
there's going to be speculation anyway, right? There's still going to be speculation because of the severity of the injury.
Yeah, well, you know, you need something to talk about. You know, writers need stuff to write about. You know, maybe they found a player that, you know, I mean, like, I never understood here in Chicago why Derrick Rose's injuries were always so much more severe than everybody else's, you know, and so maybe they found a guy kind of like that who lacked a little heart, and they got some quotes from him, and, you know, he was able to put the team in a bad light, and of course, you know, anybody's going to run with that nowadays, but yeah, again, there's absolutely no chance Kevin Durant went out on that court with any possibility of being injured.
Does he get paid next this season when he's rehabbing? Is he still under a deal
You know, somebody's going to sign him. He elected free agency. So whoever signs him is going to pay him to rehab next year.
I can't think of too many teams who would want to do that and wait a full season for someone even as talented as Durant to come back. And who could afford that?
You know,
what team could afford to do that?
Sadly, it appears they're still lining up. You know, the Knicks want him. The Nets want him. You know, there's multiple teams that are willing to pay him maximum money and let him sit out the first year.
And they're still taking the chance that when he comes back after missing the full season, will he be as good as he was before? You don't know.
Yeah, you know, it's a tough injury to come back from. I saw a report. There was a doctor's report that said 85% of players who get this injury are out of the league in 2 years. Of course, those 85% are nowhere in the stratosphere that Kevin Durant is in. So I'm sure he'll be back. It's just where, you know, does he come back as this Kevin Durant? Does he come back a notch below, or, you know, maybe with all the rehab, he comes back even better?
That to me is unlikely. The most unlikely of all the scenarios that he comes back better after rehabbing that kind of an injury. And you certainly don't want to sign a guy to mega bucks and take a chance on him coming back being a journeyman.
Well, somebody's going to. You know, he's going to get a max deal from somebody, and, you know, we'll be waiting an entire year to see, you know, which Kevin Durant they got, you know. So
you would think maybe that what you said, the Knicks would be a major thought that I would think that they would have the marketability to afford a deal like that and hope that he comes back too close to what he was before. Can you imagine how many games the Knicks will be on national TV if he comes back almost, let's say, even 90 to 95% healthy? And you know how much the NBA would love that, just as much as they love having the Lakers being a playoff team again.
Yeah, you know, I mean, obviously the biggest problem with fixing the Knicks is the fact that their owner is just a complete moron. You know, if anybody else would have owned the Knicks by now, I'm sure the NBA would have helped them out too. So, you know, he's just a complete idiot. I think it was last week he banned reporters. I forgot which paper from. It might have been the New York Post. But he banned them from the press conference they had. I think he got fined by the league $50,000. But, you know, to those kind of guys, that's nothing. One of those odd situations. Ah, these guys are banned. Okay, great.
Yeah, the New York reporters, the sports reporters, can be a bit abrasive, and they've had their reputation for years. And what you saw what happened with the Mets recently, right? With that reporter.
Yeah, well, that's good. You know, Dan and I talked about that. Do you know what led up to that? You know, that everybody just kind of leaves out of the story. Do you know that they asked Mickey Callaway, the Mets manager, the same question 30 different times in his interview before he started swearing at him?
Well, did he answer it the first time?
Yes. Yeah, they asked him why he didn't go to Edwin Diaz in the ninth or in the eighth inning. He said he didn't want him to bring him out there for him to try to get a five out save. Okay, good enough. That's the answer. He got it asked repeatedly in different ways 29 more times after that. I would have started swearing at these guys too.
Was it the same reporter who asked the same question, or were different reporters asking the same question?
You know, there was a group, so he was getting it from different people in different, you know, ways, different phrasings.
Finally, he had enough.
The reporter he ended up swearing at, I believe, asked the question either two or three times before he started swearing at him. And that was the same reporter that Jason Vargas threatened, which I don't agree with. I don't think Vargas should have went that far, but I understand what pushes these guys to that limit. I mean, imagine sitting there, like I broke it out to Dan. Imagine when your boys were young and you answered a question for them and their next response was, "Why, Dad?" And then again, "Why, Dad?" Imagine that 30 times in a row, except from adults that are paid and just didn't get it.
Well, interestingly, I wonder if those reporters asked the same question after what happened to Diaz the other day.
Yeah, yesterday you wonder if they, you know, if they had anything to say, you know, about that. But, you know, yeah, just the, you know, I mean, the outright, you know what I mean? You can't even call it stupidity. It's just the ignorance of these guys to, you know, repeatedly. Well, why didn't you go to Edwin Diaz? Why didn't you go to Edwin Diaz? Why didn't you go to Edwin Diaz? You know, and then try to frame it a different way. Do you think Diaz would have been better in that spot? Shut up.
Yeah, you could be. You can see where the manager would get annoyed by that. But of course, the physical threat from that ball player was uncalled for.
Yeah, that was too far. I agree with that, but I understand. You know, what gets these guys there? You know, I mean, that was just, you know, that was flat out ridiculous. And I know, you know, the manager got fined and the player got fined. It's, you know, it's too bad we can't fine the damn, you know, the damn sports writers for being, you know, ignorant.
Yeah, and there's so much second guessing from these so-called baseball experts. After the fact, and when a guy blows a save, well, why did you bring him in that situation? Well, they wouldn't have said anything if he got the job done. But if he doesn't get the job done, well, there's going to be criticism abounding. Can you imagine what would have happened if he blew the save yesterday for the Cubs?
Yeah.
After he didn't cover first base. And they would have loaded the bases, and the next guy hits a triple to the wall. Wow, what kind of second guessing would you have? Well, he wasn't in baseball shape. He forgot to cover first base. It's the manager's fault.
Yeah, and, you know, that's all he did. Obviously, he had a brain cramp out on the mound. You know, he didn't have those repeated drills in spring training and just didn't react. So.
Exactly.
You know, I mean, it probably, you know, probably won't happen again the rest of the year, but, you know, just one of, you know, one of those things. And, yeah, it's, you know. But, yeah, it's, you know, the reporters, I mean, it's not just the New York reporters. I mean, it just gets ridiculous with these guys. You know, how many times do you have to answer a question?
Right. And truth be told, there are some reporters who are a lot fairer in terms of asking questions that are more responsible than others. Maybe you're more because of it.
You get the good with the bad, like in everything else. But yeah, that was one of the things. I mean, they uniquely left that out of the report when they mentioned that Callaway started dropping MF bombs on them and that Jason Vargas threatened them. You know, you didn't hear the fact that they basically badgered him into it. So,
well. That is not the first time it's happened to a major league manager, by the way. And that was not really – it doesn't happen too often, but you remember the infamous Lou Piniella radio interview that took place a number of years ago. And talk about F-bombs and everything else. That's kind of a cult thing going around now. You can hear that if you want to and if you know where to look. And pretty hilarious stuff.
The other one is better. So, you know. But, yeah, no, if I was managing a Major League Baseball team, it would happen every time we lost. So.
Yeah, it's tough to be interviewed, a manager, no matter what sport it is, if your team has lost, and especially if they've lost poorly, and what question would you try to be even keel about it, but I'm sure it's got to be quite annoying, especially if you lose a tough ball game.
Well, and especially if you've answered the same question multiple times.
That doesn't help either.
Yeah, you know, you're just basically talking to yourself. So, but you know, we jump in here. It looks like the Tampa Bay Rays are going to continue to revolutionize baseball, Stu. They called up, I believe he is their top prospect. It's Brendan McKay, who happens to be a two-way player. He is a starting pitcher, first baseman. Of course, looking at his hitting stats, I'm not quite sure how much of a first baseman you can actually call him. In a 38-game split between AA and AAA this year, he's hitting .205. So I don't know how much. Of course, he did hit four home runs, which is very important. As a pitcher, now this is a little better. 6-0 in what do you got here? 11 starts, 13 games, 6-0 at a 1.22 ERA. So I'm not sure. Can you call him a dual position player just because he's going to try to play first base?
No, it doesn't sound like it to me. It sounds like they're bringing up a skilled pitcher, but. His minor league stats leave a lot to be desired. If you're 205 in the minors, why would you even bother bringing him up for his hitting? But based upon what he's done as a pitcher, I could see that would be a logical move.
Yeah, now to be fair, he did hit better at AAA. He hit .265 in a short stint there, 15 games, and that's where he hit his four homers. I guess that AA pitching was just tougher because he only hit .167 there. Maybe as he moves up, he's going to get better. I don't know. But,
you don't know. Well, the improvement from AA to AAA could mean that he's the light bulb finally clicked on. And you know, I've been doing this incorrectly. My stance is a little wrong. The coach had me make a couple of adjustments, and it paid off, especially for a young player.
So, yeah, and you can find him ranked anywhere from number 23 to number 47 in the top 100 of prospects if you're out there hunting him down. But he's only 23, And now they did say he was going to make his major league debut tomorrow, but they didn't say what he was going to make it as. So I don't know if he's going to get a start as a pitcher or if he's going to be the DH.
You would think that they would probably try him as a pitcher first.
It seems like it. It looks like that's where, you know, he's going to be the better major leaguer at. So I don't know. We'll see what they do. But, you know, Tampa Bay, they're a little, you know, they're a little out there with some of the stuff they do. So who knows?
Right. Well, look, you said he was hitting .265 at AAA, right?
Yes.
Well, that's a lot better than Ian Happ's numbers this year at AAA.
Yeah, well, I think we've written Ian Happ off as a bust, so we don't have to worry about him anymore. But there were a couple of interesting veterans who have been designated for assignment. I think it was yesterday the Yankees designated Kendry Morales. That's not really not a huge surprise. But no. Today the White Sox finally decided to pull the plug on Yonder Alonso. He gets designated for assignment. And the one I was really surprised about, the Brewers have designated utility man Hernán Pérez for assignment. Now, we'll start with Alonso since it's local. Basically, he was signed by the White Sox because he's Machado's brother-in-law, and he was brought
right
here in hopes of pursuing Machado to sign. As we know, that didn't happen. You know, in 67 games with the White Sox, he's hitting .178 with seven homers. He hasn't played well. There's no reason he shouldn't be gone. I don't think there's any question. I mean, he had started to show some power back in 2017. When he broke the 20-homer mark for his first time, he had 28. He followed that up in last year, 2018, with 23. So it looks like his power numbers were there, but at least the other years he was hitting .250, .265. I mean, .178 just doesn't cut it, even if you're a home run hitter, right?
Right, and that's no big surprise that he was DFA for the White Sox when the guy's hitting that poorly, and it's not a huge surprise, as you pointed out.
So, yeah. But, yeah, the other one, and I want to double-check here because I actually just had Hernán Pérez in my FanDuel lineup. I think it was yesterday or the day before. So I was a little shocked by this one. His numbers aren't great. But, again, he's not a full-time guy. He has played first, second, short, and third this year, along with left and right, and he's even pitched, so he must have got in a blowout. 59 games, he's hitting .235. He's a .250 hitter for his career. Again, you know, not a guy who's a starter. He can steal a base for you from time to time. But he's DFA'd, and Travis Shaw gets a ticket back to AAA after just playing incredibly bad this year. They called up their prospect again. They're bringing back that Keston Huerta, who did pretty well while he was here. Of course, he's a strikeout guy, but so is everybody nowadays. I don't know. Here, Shaw was hitting .164. Why do you send Shaw to AAA and you DFA Pérez? Why didn't they do it the other way around?
That would seem the more likely and logical scenario. How old are these guys? How old is Shaw?
Travis Shaw is 29 and Pérez is 28. The kid they're calling up, Huerta, is all of 22. Or maybe it's Hira, H-I-U-R-A. Hira? Well, something close.
Well, you know, you feel for these guys. Are they done? You know, have they hit the wall? Is their major league career over? Or can they improve enough to come back again one more time?
Yeah, Pérez, I assume if they can't find a trading partner for him here in the 10 days, somebody's going to sign him just because of his versatility. You know, Shaw has had, you know, issues like this before. Remember, he came up through the Red Sox system, and he was supposed to be their savior at third base. You know, he had decent numbers when he had a little call up in 2015. He hit 270 with 13 bombs. They gave him the job full time in 2016. The average dropped to 242, and he only hit 16 homers. He blossomed after going to Milwaukee. 273 2 years ago. He did a 241 last year, but he hit 31 and 32 home runs. I don't know what the drop off is this year. You know, 57 games, 6 homers, and a .164 batting average. He's always been a big strikeout guy. He's got 69 strikeouts in those 57 games. It just seems like it all went away magically here really quick.
Yeah, you never know when a guy's time is up, and he's been around the league a couple of times. Have they finally figured out how to pitch to him? Or is he just having a down year?
You know, you wonder if just, you know, a short trip to AAA to get some at-bats will, you know, help him, you know, kind of work things out. But, yeah, I guess we'll have to see. The other player coming up is the Brewers also called up former White Sox Tyler Saladino, which is interesting because he's a big-time utility guy as well. So I assume they're just going to plug him in Perez's spot. I don't really know if that's an upgrade.
I don't think it's an upgrade myself. I think Perez has proven to be a little better hitter than Saladino, who's been kind of a major disappointment at the major league level in terms of his batting average.
Yeah, well, you know, oddly, he was hitting really well last year for the Brewers and then got hurt. So, you know, it just kind of... it's kind of been odd. You know, like, I know I don't think the White Sox ever saw him as an everyday player. But, yeah, he finished last year at Milwaukee at 246. Again, utility guy, played second, short, and third. You know, his numbers aren't really that different than Perez's are right now, except Perez is a better base stealer.
I think Perez is a little more versatile. I know that Saladino's also a utility player, but I don't think he can play as many positions as well as Perez.
So oddly, he's actually been playing the outfield in AAA to help that.
Because he's basically been an infielder in the majors.
So, yeah, well, you know, he came through the Sox system as a shortstop. You know, but that normally makes you versatile to play second or short or second or third. You know, we'll see. I don't know, you know, how this works out. I would guess that, you know, the prospect, I mean, if you're going to call the kid up, you might as well play him. And he did hit while he was here. You know, he had 17 games earlier in the year and he hit .281 with 5 homers. You know, and you know, he, you know, in those 17 games, he did strike out 23 times, but that sadly is an acceptable number in Major League Baseball today. So, yeah, you got to figure Hiruer, or let me see if I can actually get the damn pronunciation right. Come on, give it to me phonetically here somewhere. And, of course, they don't have it. Yeah, normally Baseball Reference has it, but they don't have this one. So that's just my luck. But you got to figure, you know, if you're bringing him up, he's got to play every day at second, and Moustakas goes back over to third?
Yeah, and I don't see him playing second base as a regular basis, but maybe they'll give him a shot.
So, you know, I mean, I don't know. You know, I mean, I don't understand why you call the kid up if you're not going to play him. You know, Saladino will just fill in the pieces, whoever needs a day off here or there. I'm not expecting a ton of at-bats from him because, you know, I mean, they have 5 pretty capable guys who can play the outfield. Unless he can play center, they don't really have another center fielder besides Lorenzo Cain. So, you know, that maybe he'll spell some guys there, but... Yeah,
second base would be the logical scenario for him, I think, Matt Centerfield. Or maybe if they want to give Kane a rest, I don't know.
So, yeah, I mean, it's definitely, it'll be interesting to see how they shake it out. I wonder, have they announced their lineup for tonight? Did they make all these changes official that they're in the lineup tonight? Let me see if I can bing this real quick and hunt down a Milwaukee lineup. Of course, I don't know who they're playing, which always makes it a little more interesting. Who are the Brewers playing tonight? Do you know?
Not offhand. They just got them playing Seattle, right? So I'm not sure who they play next.
Pirates. Yeah, they're playing the Pirates. They have what do we decide to call him? I'm going to call him Hyrua. He is batting sixth, playing second base. And Saladino is actually in the starting lineup. He's batting ninth, playing shortstop tonight. So.
Well, the Brewers haven't been playing very well lately. Maybe they think that these guys could get them turned around again. Of course, they're only one game out of first place, but they are not playing as well this year as they did last year, so far at least.
You know, and I'm wondering if maybe that was the move to maybe just try to shake things up a little bit and see, you know, and obviously, like I said, the kid hit really well while he was here, so there's no reason to not. I mean, there was a lot of kind of shock when they sent him back down. You know, a lot of people thought he had played well enough to stay. So, you know, I'm assuming that's, you know, part of the reason they made these moves was to make room for him to play every day at second base. But, yeah.
What was the explanation when they sent him down? Would they give any kind of a suitable explanation when they sent him back down to AAA?
No, you know, it was just kind of their plan all along. You know, they had I think it was actually Shaw who came back off the DL, and somebody else may have came back with him. So, you know, the obviously being his first call-up, he had plenty of options. So, you know, it was easy to just turn around and send this guy down. But, yeah, you know, who knows?
Well, the Brewers are fortunate to be in a weak division where the first-place team is not that many games over 500.
So yeah, you know, well they're 3-7 in their last 10. I know they picked up a win last night. You know, Pittsburgh's actually on a 2-game winning streak and has won 7 of their last 10. So, you know, we'll have to see if it gets any better. And I know the Brewers really struggled. It was Seattle they were playing, and I mean they really scuffled against what just is now a terrible Mariners team.
A last place team, and they did win 4-2 yesterday. Holding on to the it was 4-0. I think Seattle got a couple of runs late, and the Brewers did hold on for the victory, but they desperately needed to win one.
Yeah, it was humorous. I was listening. I can't even remember who the heck I was listening to, and they were talking about that a little bit, about how well Dan Vogelbach had played. And eventually, you know, it came up that they were a little shocked that, you know, the Cubs actually let him go. And again, I it wasn't anybody local here or anything. And all I kept thinking to myself is, obviously, this guy either doesn't do any research or just really doesn't pay attention, because there was absolutely nowhere for Vogelbach to play here. He wasn't going to beat out Rizzo.
No, that would never happen. And there's no DH in the National League.
Right.
And he's done well this year, though. He's done a nice year for Seattle.
Yeah, if you've seen Vogelbach, you realize that he wouldn't be able to go play the outfield like a lot of first basemen can. So, you know, his power has really come out. He's got, you know, he leads their team with 19 homers now that Encarnacion's been traded. You know, he's hitting .248, and, you know, what's actually kind of decent is his strikeout-to-walk ratio isn't bad. He has struck out 68 times, but he's actually walked 55.
Yeah, well, that's not bad. Now, is he strictly DH for them?
You know, he plays some first base from time to time, especially now with Encarnacion gone. So, you know, he's getting his opportunity there. Let me see what his defensive breakdown is here for this year. 24 games at first base this year, 50 is the DH.
Well, I don't think he's ever been thought of as a great defensive first baseman. It was his hitting that everybody was thought he had potential.
To be fair, he hasn't made an error this year.
That's true.
He's done okay there. So, you know, obviously it's a small sample size, but you know, nothing egregious there where you would kind of look at him and be like, oh, hey, look, this guy's a butcher out here. So.
Well, 19 home runs is pretty good. And he can't, 248, by today's standards, 248 is respectable.
By today's standards, 248 is 300. So.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But I'm glad he's got a chance to play, at least play in the major leagues.
Yeah, it was nice to see him, you know, get the opportunity like that, because there was always talk and kind of wonder what he could do if given, you know, the opportunity. And again, that just wasn't going to happen, you know, in a Cub uniform. So,
do you remember what the Cubs got in return, or were they just?
They got Mike Montgomery in return.
Oh, that's right. That's right. And. Kind of a down year for Mike Montgomery this year so far.
He's been awful the last couple of years. Yeah, it hasn't been as glorious as when people wanted to see him moved into the starting rotation there a couple of years ago, and you know he was kind of the king of the bullpen there for a while. But that happens with players. So
yeah, he has come down to earth this year. That's it's been a disappointing season for him.
Yeah, I gotta see if there was how many people was it, just straight up, or how did that go? The Cubs sent Paul Blackburn along with Vogelbach to the Mariners. They got Mike Montgomery along with Jordan Preece was the other guy in that deal. Let's see what I can tell you here about this. Preece, he looks like he got out of baseball in 2016. Was his last year with the Cubs there, so.
And he's done.
Yeah, he doesn't. His career goes nowhere after 2016. So unless he's playing overseas or something somewhere, he's out of the game. And I know Blackburn was once thought of as one of the better, I believe it was, pitching prospects in the Cubs organization, which is just frightening to me, but. He is actually pitched one game in the majors this year. He is now an Oakland A. He pitched three innings and gave up five runs this year. He's had brief appearances the last 3 years with the A's, but basically he is a minor leaguer. So, he was a Cub first round pick back in 2012.
Yeah. His ERA is not very good, though, huh?
No, that equals out to 15 for his ERA.
That's
so
exactly
far,
right.
But again, it was only three another opportunity. Not that he,
yeah,
you know, oddly in
triple. I was going to say, I didn't think you were a math major. That was pretty quick thinking on your part to come up with that 15 ERA.
I used to do that all the time when I was a kid, was figuring out ERA. Oddly, in AAA, he was 7-1 in his 14 starts, but his ERA was 6.07. So he must have a hell of an offense behind him in Las Vegas there for the A's AAA team, because he's given up bunches of runs and they're still winning games for him. So
that's when you see a one-loss record is meaningless when you take a look at that ERA at the AAA level.
Yeah, just kind of odd there how that one worked that way. So, but a couple of one or two former Cub players are.
the list goes on. Yeah, but well, you can't take away one thing that Montgomery did, and we'll never forget that in 2016. So, by that alone, it was a good deal.
Yeah, you know, and that's all that was. I mean, you look at it now, and obviously he's hugely scuffling. But, you know, he was a gigantic part of that, you know, they needed him to help win the World Series. And, you know, that's what's important. I mean, he's got the ring. Obviously, they can't take that away from him. And, You know, I do wonder if they would have possibly moved him. You know, there was a lot of talk like the Orioles were interested in him, you know, before they decided to make their team a gigantic crapshoot. I do wonder if maybe if the Cubs would have moved him, if he would have found some success as a starter, if he was just the regular guy in the rotation.
It's possible. It's possible he'd be stretched out, and given the opportunity, he might have done okay as a starter.
Yeah, because he's never really had the opportunity except, a little bit in Seattle. They brought him up. He made, he appeared in 16 games, made 16 starts, and interestingly, he pitched two complete game shutouts in those 16 starts. So
yeah, you don't see that happen too often.
Yeah, you wonder why, when Seattle brought him back the next year, he spent most of the time in the bullpen. I know he was injured, for a little bit there with them. But, yeah, it's just you kind of wonder why, especially being a lefty, that nobody's ever really kind of looked at him as a starter.
And I know that would probably be his preference if he could choose. He would prefer to be a starter.
Yeah, so... who knows what ends up going on, but we'll have to see how that all shakes out. But yeah, it's always kind of odd remembering who got what for who when guys went somewhere. So
yeah, it's interesting to go back a few years and you forget about these guys that are traded or dealt, and you never even follow up as to how they do, if they're still in the majors or the AAA or the Japan, who knows?
Yeah, that's always the the interesting thing to see where, because sometimes you get these guys who are just throw-ins and you're like, oh, wait a minute, they just kind of threw this guy in and, now he's a, competent major league player or he's part of a big-time rotation or something and, it's like, oh, okay.
Well, look at Jake Arrieta. I mean, he was mediocre at Baltimore, and then the Cubs got him, and he was, for a couple of years, he was one of the best pitchers in baseball.
Yeah, he was so bad in Baltimore, I don't even know if you could call him mediocre. So,
yeah, no.
that might be a compliment there. So.
Yeah. And he's on the downside of his career. I don't think he's been all that great with Philadelphia this season.
Yeah, you wonder, what happens with these guys. I attribute some of his struggles last year to the fact that he just, the late reporting and stuff.
Right.
But, this year, in his 16 starts, he's got a 4.33 ERA. And what I've noticed is his strikeout numbers aren't really there like they used to be. Like last year, he only struck out 138 guys in 72 and two-thirds. And this year, he's only got 75 strikeouts in 97 and two-thirds. So he's not getting a lot of the swing and misses like he used to. Oddly, the year he won the Cy Young, he struck out 236 guys.
Well, the wear and tear on the arm, and I know he's not that old, but some guys, they just can't seem to sustain that consistency from year to year, and he has, truth be told, he hasn't been all that good the last couple of years. And as you pointed out, last year he got a late start, and even the last year with the Cubs wasn't earth shaking, wasn't all that great.
But even that last year with the Cubs, at least the ERA was 3.53, and that's really good. That's keeping your team in a lot of games. I mean, he gets to Philadelphia, and last year it's just under 4 at 3.96, and, now it's 4.33. And I do wonder, do we have to start attributing some of these higher ERAs to the fact that the ball is just all juiced up and flying out of the park? Or, how do you kind of handle that?
Well, there's been a lot of home runs this season. That's for damn sure, and...
Yeah, you could not convince me that there's not something going on with the ball. you know, they, you know, it wound tight, whatever you want to call it. You know, I know they have their whole reasonings for it, but yeah, they apparently wanted to see more home runs this year, and they are seeing more home runs because it's a joke at times. I mean, it makes games hard to watch when balls are just kind of flying out of the park. So,
well, that being said, will anybody this year hit over 50 home runs?
Hell, we may get guys get to 60 with the way they're going. So, you know, that's just, you know, ridiculous when you think about it. Let's see where we are with some guys. Because, you know, you figure what, we're not quite halfway through the season, and we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Good Lord. How many guys are there? We have 15 guys with 20 or more. The top guy has 29. So, you know, if this keeps up, we're going to see probably some 50-plus guys and some guys get close to 60.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to quite hit the 60 mark, but because we are actually about, most teams have played about half of the games now, 81 games, I think.
Almost, yeah.
Well, they always say that traditionally it's the July 4th cutoff at the halfway point in this season.
All right. Well, we forgot this last week. I kind of spaced it off. We were rolling on about something else, but I remembered this week that we have to get, you know, your predictions in here. 2 weeks ago, you did hit again. You're rolling along here. You hit them all right. You're actually 32-9. So, you know, as you know, we start off tonight. The Cubs are on a road trip. So let my internet catch up here. I know they are starting off in Cincinnati. I'm
Correct.
Sure you are quite concerned that Scooter Jeanette has returned for the for the Reds. So they are going to have to deal with him. But you know, tonight, what do we have tonight? We have Cole Hamels against Sonny Gray tonight. Is the matchup? Tyler Chatwood started yesterday. That's too bad. Come on. I gotta get like internet music when I'm trying to get my internet to catch up that we can play while I'm waiting for the internet to catch up. But yeah, I believe it's three games in Cincinnati this weekend, and then they're off to Pittsburgh. There we go. Come on. Where are we? What's the date today? June what? Good Lord, June's almost over. That's
June 28th.
Against Gray, like I said, we have Jose Quintana against Luis Castillo tomorrow, and then John Lester against Anthony DeSclafani on Sunday. So you know the first two questions: do the Cubs win the series, and do they sweep?
Well, my answer is no in both cases. I think Cincinnati wins the series.
And then we're moving to Pittsburgh. It looks like it's a four-gamer. These are always tough to predict. You know, the rookie's making a start on Monday. I can't pronounce his name, Alzolay or whatever it is.
Right.
He goes against Trevor Williams for the Pirates. Then it's Yu Darvish against Joe Musgrove, and these are just projected. These can change being so far down. Cole Hamels against Chris Archer, and then Jose Quintana against Jordan Lyles. Four gamers, so we got the same two questions. Do they win that four-game series, and do the Cubs sweep?
No. In both cases, I predict a split. I'll give them the benefit of the doubt and grudgingly give the Cubs a split in the series against Pittsburgh.
You've been rolling on me, so I wanted to give you a little bit of a tougher one today. As you know, they announced the All-Star starters yesterday. The rest of the team is going to be named on Sunday. When they name the rest of that team, how many more Cubs will be added to the All-Star team? We have what? We have Contreras and Baez are the starters, but they're the only two Cubs who are starting. How many more Cubs will be added to the National League roster? You don't have to tell me who. You just got to tell me the number. So
I would say two.
All right. So we will lock that in and see how you do. That's definitely a tough one. So
it's not an easy question.
No, that's, you know, because, yeah, you do have to wonder, you know, like I know, what was it? It was Rizzo and Bryant were in the final voting, and then all three outfielders somehow were in the final voting, even though I wasn't really buying that any of them belonged on the All-Star team.
Yeah. All right.
You know, that I honestly think Kyle Hendricks probably deserves a spot, but he's hurt, so they won't pick him.
No, and I'm not sure when he's coming back. He might, it's a possibility he can get back in before the All-Star break, but if they were smart, they would keep him on the shelf until after the All-Star game.
Yeah, well, you know, yeah, you figure with that and the fact that they're picking the team Sunday, he's probably not going to be, you know, they're probably not going to be thinking about him. So you do wonder, you know, Cole Hamels has been really good. Do you think maybe he gets a nod?
He's got an outside shot at it. I would say probably not, but he does have an outside shot at making the team.
Yeah, you know, like I don't think there's no way any of the relievers are going, but I was wondering, you know, like I thought for sure Hendricks would be almost a lock if he had stayed healthy, but I don't know. So are you assuming here that it's Rizzo and Bryant who get the ad as your two guys, or
that's what I'm thinking, yes. That's what I'm thinking, Rizzo and Bryan. And possibly you, Jarvis.
So, yeah, because, you know, Kay, I'm kind of looking. I'm not sure I don't even know if there's anybody else who, you know, who would be considered as an everyday player for, you know, for an ad besides. So
possibly Jason Hayward.
Hayward has had a pretty – so, you know. Can they add Victor Caratini as a backup catcher? He's done pretty well.
I don't think so. He did hit a big home run the other day, though, didn't he? That gave the Cubs the lead.
Well, you know, he's played a lot better. You know, it took him a little while to kind of get his footing. And, you know, I know you were ready to drive him out of town. But, you know, he looks like he's a good – you know, he would start on a lot of teams. You know, it's just the fact that the Cubs have Wilson Contreras that Caratini doesn't start here.
No, and Contreras certainly has a great – he had a very, very bad last half of the season in 2018, but he seems to have found it and turned it up a notch this season. He's having a great year and deservedly was selected,
you know, one of the baseball. So – you know, and I know what Baez made it, one of the few guys to make it at two different positions. You know, I think, what was he, a second baseman? Last year he got voted on, and now this year he's a shortstop. So.
Yeah, well, some critics thought that Baez was going to be a one-hit wonder type of thing and revert back to his form this year. And, yeah, he's still a free swinger. He'll still chase, but you can't take away he's having another excellent season for the Cubs.
No, yeah, and, you know, you add in the fact that, I mean, he's just, he's a gold glove defender. And I laughed last year when they were talking about, you know, the MVP voting. And not that I thought he should have won it, but, you know, there were guys who were saying they didn't know how to rate him because he played so many different positions. And I'm like, what do you mean? He's pretty much good at all of them. What's the problem with rating him?
he's a very, very intuitive baseball player. He just does the right thing most of the time. And he seems to be enjoying himself playing too. I like that about him.
Yeah, it's nice to see the guys have a good time. You know, he's got a, you know, as long as they don't take it too far, I don't have a problem with the celebrations and stuff. You know, some guys get a little carried away, but, you know.
Well, there's all this talk about baseball etiquette, right? Baseball etiquette. You gotta do things a certain way or else.
Yeah. All right, well, look at that. It's time for you and I to go already. All right, the mission is two and a half. I believe we're actually on this Fantasy and I for a couple of big hours. I have to double check that, but hey, we have to do this here. Otherwise, get over to fantasy.com and turn the blog popping up tomorrow morning. While you're over there, hit the link to the Facebook page. It's all right, but don't forget to click it, which is awesome. where I am at. I would want to play with all this. You know, the Bears, they're not going to lie to me.